You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, a show which features conversations with Christians in leadership about the topics that really matter. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing Christian leaders on over 1,000 shows, and so hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and will join us again next week.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
Welcome to the show that aims to support and encourage Christians who lead. We spend a lot of our week doing it, and so it's always good when we're in a good environment. I'm referring, of course, to our daily work. So what makes a good working environment? Well, today I'm joined by James Poole, the Executive Director of Wycliffe Bible Translators, which featured in the Sunday Times Best Places to Work survey last year. So I'm looking forward to finding out what they do well and what we might learn about creating such environments. So welcome, James, to the Leadership Show.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
So your journey to work at Wycliffe first, James?
Started off life as a computer programmer and then went to Bible College into church leadership, training church leaders in Kenya and serving churches in this country. And so most recently, I was a church leader for 7 years at a larger church in Cambridge. And then I've spent 12 years now leading Wycliffe Bible Translators.
It may seem an obvious question, but not all listeners are familiar with Wycliffe Bible Translators. So could you outline your work for us?
Yes, well, we would love to see a world where everyone can know Jesus through the Bible. And we live in a world where 1 in 5 people don't have the Bible in their language, the language that speaks to them best. So at Wycliffe, we're focused on trying to unlock God's word for every heart so that anyone, anywhere can come to know Jesus through God's word, just as we can so easily in English and the languages spoken in this country. So we've been working with some urgency for the last 70 years since we were founded, and seeking to make God's word available and make Jesus known.
Well, it's astonishing work, and we'll come on a bit later to perhaps look at what remains to be done. In terms of creating a working environment that has been so positive, so it'd be good to work out what I saw that about. So perhaps to start with, you could share how many employees you have, both in the UK and overseas.
Well, so there's around 350 people serving with Wycliffe Bible Translators. That would be a mix of some people who are employed, some people are sent by their churches to serve with us, their church mission partners serving with us in the UK and around the world, and some volunteers as well. So we have a staff team in the UK, offices in Oxford and Belfast, who are trying to help serve churches in their engagement in world missions. So we're supporting them in sending people to do the translation training and development work that needs to happen around the world. We are sending money around the world as people send us donations, and we're passing it on to translation partners in different contexts. And we're raising prayer support for the work as well. So there's a lot happening around the world, and in the UK there's a team of 65 people who are trying to facilitate all that and make it happen so that churches in different contexts, when they want to translate the Bible, they can call and we can have people there to help them.
On this show, sometimes we look at topics or areas and we look at what is good practice. And clearly, you've managed to create a good working environment. So from your perspective, what might you get right, you think, which gives such a positive feedback from your employees?
It's been lovely to be recognised by the Sunday Times for what we're doing. I think that people want to enjoy their work, that if God has gifted you with the skills to do something and you're able to find a role in which you use those gifts that God has given you, then... And for a meaningful task, a task that you want to support, then work can be quite enjoyable. You know, this side of the fall, all work has problems and difficulties. But it's a great privilege when we find ourselves in work that we enjoy. It's not true for everyone, but when it happens, it's great. So I think we've been able to create an environment where We're giving people meaningful work to do. We are trusting them to do it, so people are really quite empowered to get on and do the thing that needs doing, within a clear sort of vision and direction and meaningful purpose for the organization. And no one really likes it when they don't have the tools to do the job that they want to do, or when they're being micromanaged and they're not able to, you know, achieve the thing that they see the role needs. So we really try to free people up. I think a lot of leaders, it's an easy trap for leaders to fall into this position where you want to be the one who knows best. And so you're dictating to people what they should do. And instead, we've tried to flip it the other way around, that if we're advertising to find someone new to join the team, we're trying to find someone who is better at the job we're advertising than we are. That line managers should be managing teams who are each better at their role than the line manager could be. And so that the skill and expertise is at the front line where it's really needed. Managers are there to support people to do the work which they know best how to achieve. And people have, when you do that, you see people flourishing in their role.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, I have I've heard people say that sometimes pastors are appointed under the senior pastor, and they make sure that those under, and that's obviously a slightly pejorative word, are not going to show up the pastor. In other words, they're not a better preacher, better pastor, whatever. But your mentality is clearly no. We want the very best, and it's not a case of showing us up. It's utilizing their gifts and glorifying God in so doing.
Yes, and I think you're right. It becomes very easy for someone to, well, for pride to enter their hearts when they become a team leader, and their insecurities, and feel that they need to show themselves to be to the best, they're the important ones. Whereas actually, if you invert it, it's all the other way around. It's the role of the team leader to enable their team to do the best that the team can do, that the team have the skills and everything else, and make sure they're properly resourced, giving them all the training that they might need if there's anything they're not managing well, making sure that they're properly trained, and championing them so that they can do the actual work at the front line. So I think that needs an organizational culture which is not very hierarchical. Leaning on Paul's metaphors, the church as a body. I don't think organizations are churches. They're different, so it's not quite the same. But still, that Christian ethos of how we work together, of respecting one another, leads to a flatter sort of hierarchy, and leads to a genuine appreciation that we're a team, and each person matters.
Yeah. And therefore, recruitment within all this is pretty crucial, I guess. Using appropriate tools to make sure you've got the right people.
Absolutely. And it is so easy to, as you were just saying, to recruit someone that you can look down on. We don't want that. We want to recruit people that we look up to. Yep. We want to find people who will come and tell us how to do our job, not for us to tell them. And that goes for every role in the organization. Just occasionally, we might take on an apprentice or something who is bringing no prior experience and really is a training role. But even then, we're looking for them to bring some energy or some ambition that the organization needs and would learn from them. We set about at some point some time ago trying to describe the internal culture that we wanted, and we came up with we have our values around prayer and the Bible and things, but we also just an internal work culture that we wanted to achieve, and we said there were four things. We said we want to work together, we want to put others first, we want to get things done, and we want to keep getting better. So we work together. We actually want to be a team that genuinely collaborate and invest in relationships with one another. We want to put others first. We want to be internally generous with our time and resources. We want to help our colleagues' work lives become easier. We do want to get things done. We're part of an important cause, and we think our work is significant. So we want to take decisions, we want to adapt to a changing world. And fourthly, we want to keep getting better. Sometimes organisations can be paralysed that the way we've always done things is the way we always will do things. But we want to be good stewards of the resources God has given us. And so we want to evaluate how we're doing, we want to keep improving. And those things, I think, create a working environment that helps to bring out the best in people. And when you bring out the best in people and you see them flourishing, actually, they need less direction and less supervision. You can trust them more to get on with things. And so, one of the consequences is you're not dealing with the same disciplinary types of issues that some organizations might face.
Right. It is, of course, important to maintain good standards. How important is this for you as a leader? How can you easily check that all is well? Do you have regular feedback or other ways of monitoring how things are?
Yeah, so all the team leaders are meeting one-to-one with their teams and together with their teams on a regular basis. We have the normal pattern of annual reviews and interspersed with quarterly reviews in between, so that people should know, you know, what the role is, what's needed, and there's regular check-in on that. And those check-in reviews would not only be looking at people's sort of performance against the job description, as would be the case in a normal organization, but also be looking at people's how they're aligning with our values as an organization, checking that people are okay spiritually and their spiritual growth. Are we praying together? And include even opportunity to evaluate the line manager to some extent. So one of the questions we would ask team members is, what do you need from me to do your best work? So their team leader may need to adapt to enable them to do their best work. And we're willing to flex quite a bit and be a flexible employer in order to bring out the best in people. Because, you know, this thing when you're working with colleagues who are themselves enjoying their work and seeing it as meaningful and purposeful, they believe they're making a positive difference in the world, and they're doing their best work, and that's just a pleasure to be with such people, and it brings out the best in you as well, and so you end up in a happier environment overall.
Super. I'm starting to understand why you got such a good score in your feedback. Is being labelled a good employer a bit of a mixed blessing in any way?
No, I think it's only positive. Okay. I think we should all aspire to be good employers, those of us who lead and employ people at whatever level. If you were working for Jesus, then surely he would be the best employer of all. Like, surely times maybe working following Jesus were hard for the disciples, but overall, what better person could you have to follow who actually cared about you as a person, as well as caring about the mission that together you were on? And If we can lead like Jesus, lead with prayer, lead with truth, lead with grace, lead with direction and vision, then there's no downsides to that.
Super. Okay. So we're moving a bit broader in terms of the work of Wycliffe. I mean, I understand that improved digital technology has sped up the process of Bible translation. And obviously, with the advent of AI as well, maybe that has helped. I don't know. Perhaps describe to us how things have adapted and changed in the digital world.
Yeah, we've always been an early adopter of technology, right from the invention of computers and then laptops through to the internet. And that has always really helped us. It's one of the things that has massively accelerated the process of Bible translation. And now we're introducing AI tools as well. You need to be somewhat careful that these tools must be servants, not masters. We need to make sure that we're not shortcutting the process of achieving high-quality, faithful, accurate, clear translations. But where the tools can help, they're a tremendous benefit. And I think for leaders, this can be a challenge, because even now, as we're seeing AI change so many roles, leaders can sometimes be the last to adapt. And for me personally, I know across all the things that the team are doing, whether technology or elsewhere, it's important that I listen to them and understand what they're doing, the changes in their sector and in their roles, and to try and stay on top of that. So I personally use AI tools more than perhaps I need to, sometimes at the point even of slowing me down, but to make sure that I understand what these things are, or what they can do, what they can't do, so that as we're introducing new technology around Bible translation and elsewhere, that I've got a good grasp and able to support those who are making the decisions.
And just to be clear, obviously, in some cases, the Bible translators have to create written language for the peoples they're seeking to serve before they can then translate it into the Bible. So, you know, there's two very challenging tasks.
Yeah, very commonly the languages that we're supporting the churches in those places, the language has never been written down before. And so the early questions are how to create the writing system for the language and to make sure we've got the vocabulary all correct in order to help them to translate. The benefits of that, of course, then you get these ripple effects that go out into education, literacy, and all sorts of other things, which was also the case here, that when the Bible becomes available, society changes. And so we're quite excited by all that because we love to see lives changed by Jesus.
And in terms of the task, how many heart languages, if we use that language or that word, need to be translated for you to finish the whole world, as it were?
Well, yeah, there's around 7,400 languages spoken in the world today. The full Bible, as of May, we just hit 800 languages with a full Bible. There's another 1,700 with a New Testament. And not every language will need a full translation. There are some languages are dying out. But currently there's translation progress, work in progress around the world in around 4,400 languages right now. So the scale is huge. That's the global scale of which we are a significant contributor by God's grace and with the support of churches and individuals in this country. And we're expecting to see that in the next 15 years or so, maybe slightly sooner, the Bible might become available to 95% of the world's population, 99.95% of the world, so the New Testament available to 99.95% of the world's population, which is just an incredible milestone. For the first time since the day of Pentecost, that we might see pretty much all the world's population having a New Testament available to them in their language. And so we're really pressing on towards that and looking beyond it. Languages keep changing and developing. The work of translation never ends. People also need study Bibles, they need children's Bibles, but all sorts going on. So our method is trying to, a bit like I was saying earlier, it's not that we should be the experts who know everything and do translations for people. Our whole methodology is train up the people in churches in different places so that they can do their own translations, that they can meet their translation needs. So it's very much about a leadership style, which seeks to, which believes in and trusts the people that we work with and acts in their interests for them to be able to work successfully rather than trying to aggrandize ourselves.
Sure. And it would seem to make sense for Bible translators to not duplicate resources on translation. I don't know if that is able to be the case.
Oh, yes. So we're massively cooperative across different translation organizations. We share resources remarkably. And there's no competition between us. The task is so large, there's not room for competition. When you're involved in kingdom growth and kingdom ministries, really, we shouldn't be competing with one another as believers. We should be working shoulder to shoulder and seeking to serve the Lord in that way. And yeah, so that culture, which I think is quite common in inside World Mission, is a lovely thing to sort of share back into the UK as churches. Sometimes churches we can be competitive with each other or look down on other churches that aren't quite my brand of Bible believing church. It's slightly different, but actually, if we're serving the same Lord, one Lord, one Spirit, we're believing the same Word. Let's cooperate together for the cause of the kingdom.
Well, well said. Sadly, it's not always the case. As you know, charities sometimes are duplicating somewhat, but there we are. So I'm not suggesting you lecture the leaders listening about what they should do, but I do wonder if there are some key principles you've learned that you could pass on.
I think Gosh, that's a hard question. The key principles tend to be biblical qualities. And so you've got to start with prayer, and you've got to start, at that sort of level. If you want to lead like Jesus, well, how did Jesus lead? Things like servant leadership have become, well talked about now, because of that. There's one thing that only a leader can do that is hard for a team to do, and that is set vision and direction. And something that is in a Christian organization clearly aligned with God's purposes. And if it is aligned with God's purposes, let's be a bit ambitious about it. Let's try to make a difference. If it matters to God, it should matter to us. And so a leader who is able to set direction and help people to understand which way we're going and is then able to serve people that they can do what's needed. I think you can't go that far wrong if you're doing that.
Sure. Well, I think it was a slightly unfair question because you've in some ways already outlined the sort of things you're doing. So people can grasp that and they can listen back to this recording as a podcast to glean your wisdom. So thank you. So closing question, James, you're involved in an amazing work, no doubt, value partners in prayer and finance. So how could listeners discover more? What kind of ways might they tie into Wycliffe?
Well, if you want to know more about Wycliffe Bible Translators, just look up our website, which is wycliffe.org.uk, or just Google Wycliffe Bible Translators, you'll find us. The work around the world is happening at a remarkable scale and speed right now, for which we thank God. It's accelerating, and it accelerates as it multiplies with churches around the world trying to do translations for their people. And so if anyone were willing to support, the more support we receive in prayer and financial support, the more happens around the world.
Excellent. And no doubt, from time to time, there's some job opportunities at Wycliffe. So I guess people need to keep their eyes open to join an organisation.
Keep an eye on the jobs page on our website, or follow us on LinkedIn, and you will hear about our job posts if you follow us there.
Wonderful. Well, James, it's been a thrill to chat with you. It's a fantastic job you do, within the whole team. And thank you for sharing your wisdom and insights into creating the kind of working environment that people enjoy being with. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy. Good to be with you.
That was my conversation with James Paul, the Executive Director of Wycliffe Bible Translators, which had featured in the Sunday Times Best Places to Work category last year. It was fascinating to chat with him and learn some of the principles which have enabled them to be such a good place for employees. I guess one of the key elements for us as leaders is that the ability to be looking to draw in the very best people is crucial. Maybe that's an obvious point, but it takes humility to knowingly appoint someone who may be better than us. But of course, a leader's influence is not just their own charisma, personality, gifts, drive, but drawing together a team of people able to thrive. And James reminds us, if we see our organizations a bit like the body that the Apostle Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians 12, then every part of that body needs to function well, even the supposedly weak parts as well as the strong parts. And so finding the right people to thrive is a crucial part of any leader's task. He gave us four elements of the culture that he looks to generate: working together, putting others first, getting things done, and getting better. I also like the way in which line managers can be asked, how can I best help you to do your job better? And having that sense of mutual feedback is a beautiful thing, especially perhaps for those who feel a bit intimidated by the line manager and hate the appraisal process and the way they feel a little bit under pressure to reflect their previous year. In his charity, having a flat hierarchy has worked very well. and certainly looking at the structure of our organisation can be a helpful way of improving things so that individuals within it are empowered. So who knows, if you imbibe some of these principles and put them into practice, maybe you one day will feature in the Sunday Times Best Places to Work list. As always, you'll find archived versions of the Leadership Show. You go to the Premier.Plus app or website. You will type in the profile, which is the generic name for a number of conversations. Premier Christianity does a longer conversation each week. And then on the Wednesday, the Leadership Special is the show that's broadcast on the radio, repeated for your enjoyment. But you can also, of course, find hundreds of shows. You can also go to your podcast provider and type in the Leadership Show or its former name, the Leadership File, and browse to find the speakers and the topics that are going to particularly help you where God has placed you in the kind of leadership that he has given you. So this is Andy Peck, your host, thanking you for joining us and looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.